Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Judges, chapter 11, verses 29 through 40. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh. He passed on to Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed on to the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will give the Ammonites into my hand, then whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return victorious from the Ammonites shall be the Lord's, to be offered up by me as a burnt offering." So Jephthah crossed over to the Ammonites to fight against them, and the Lord gave them into his hand. He inflicted a massive defeat on them from Aroer to the neighborhood of Minnith, 20 towns, and as far as Abel-Karamim. So the Ammonites were subdued before the people of Israel. Then Jephthah came to his home in Mizpah, and there was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels and dancing. She was his only child. He had no son or daughter except her. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You have become the cause of great trouble for me. I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot take back my vow." She said to him, "My father, if you have opened your mouth to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, now that the Lord has given you vengeance against your enemies, the Ammonites." And she said to her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Grant me 2 months that I may go and wander on the mountains and bewail my virginity, my companions and I." "Go," he said, "and send her away for 2 months." So she departed, she and her companions, and bewailed her virginity on the mountains. At the end of 2 months, she returned to her father, who did with her according to the vow he had made. She had never slept with a man. So there arose an Israelite custom that for 4 days every year the daughters of Israel would go out to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This is another one of those scriptures from the book of Judges that is very dark and disturbing. And as I said, when we started this series, we would encounter some of those things and that somehow, even in these darker, more disturbing passages, we would be pushed more towards Jesus. The book of Judges, it could be said, represents a very dark time in Israel's history. Throughout the book, over and over again, we see the theme or we come across the passage that the people of Israel, they did what was right in their own eyes, or they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. These are the recurring themes. And so in the midst of all this, over and over again, God would raise up a judge. He would raise up a hero or a deliverer or a redeemer of some sort to help the people out who were rebelling against him. And as we see in the book of Judges, God used some real dummies sometimes, which should give us some hope, because sometimes we can feel like dummies. But there is hope. If God can use people who do foolish things, then he can use us as well. And he did use a lot of people who did foolish things, even the ones we know the best, like Samson, who was a judge. He told a woman the source of his strength. At first, he lied about it, and he said that if you tie me up with rope, I won't be strong anymore. So she tied him up with rope while he was asleep and had the enemy's army come in, and then he broke free. And then he turned around and the next night told her the truth, that his strength was in her hair, after she had already betrayed him. So Samson wasn't exactly a genius. But yet God still used him. God still chose him. Gideon, God used him to defeat the Midianites in a miraculous victory. And then Gideon turned around and erected a statue of a false pagan god, and the people worshipped it there in Israel. And yet these people are praised in the book of Hebrews. When the writer of Hebrews is going through the hall of fame of faith, he's talking about Samson, he talks about Gideon, and he talks about Jephthah. And so if these people are so flawed and their foolish acts are recorded here in Scripture, it's amazing that they can still be remembered for their faith. The reason they are remembered is not because of anything they did, because they certainly messed up. The reason they are remembered is because God chose them to do something wonderful, and he used them despite their flaws. And Jephthah here in this story makes one very big misstep. He makes a vow to God that if you give me this victory against the Ammonites, when I come home, whatever walks out of the door of my house, I will offer it up to you as a burnt sacrifice. Now, in these days, it was very common for people to own livestock, to own cattle, sheep, goats, doves, whatever. And these animals would come in and out of the dwelling place, out of the hut, out of the house, whatever they called it, and would eat, would find shade in the heat of the day, would drink something. So it was very common to walk up to somebody's house and maybe be greeted by a goat at the door. And so Jephthah sort of makes this spur-of-the-moment vow to God, if you deliver me, if you give me victory over the Ammonites, whatever comes to greet me at the door, I will sacrifice as a burnt offering. Now, this vow is very foolish for several reasons. First of all, God is not a businessman. God is not to be bartered with. A lot of times we do this, and we don't really think much of it, but we will say things when we pray, Lord, if you just help me out with this one thing, if you just do this for me, I'll go to church every Sunday, or I will pray more, or I will read my Bible. And we do it like we're at the negotiation table. The truth is, we could give God every second of every day for the rest of our lives, and we would still owe Him. There is nothing we can give to God. There is no deal we can make with God that would make us even, that would put us square. And so to treat it like it's a business, like it's a negotiation, is condescending to God. It's condescending to His grace, to the love and to the mercy that He has shown us. But not only that, it takes the glory away from God and it puts us on ourselves. In other words, God's love is great, His mercy and grace are great, and He shows it to us freely. And so He gets the glory for our victories. But if we make a deal with God, or we feel like we've made a deal with God, we are able to take some of that glory. We can say, well, it's because I said this to God, or I promised this, He gave me that. And so it takes the glory away from God, and it gives it to us. And that's sort of what Jephthah was doing here. He was taking the glory, the power of God's plan away from God, and he was putting it on himself by promising to do something God didn't even ask him to do. And that's what really gets me about this passage, is that Jephthah makes a vow God never wanted him to make. You see, God would have been with Jephthah in that battle anyway. If you go back a chapter and you read before this, you'll find that Jephthah was born to a prostitute. He was outcast. He was shunned. His family wouldn't acknowledge him. His brothers wouldn't acknowledge him. The other people of the country wouldn't acknowledge him. He came from very humiliating, humbling circumstances. And God still chose him to deliver the Israel people. God chose him to lead them into battle. And God was going to be with him because of that. And Jephthah made this promise that he did not need to make when God was going to be with him anyway. Now, this sort of happens to us sometimes, whether we realize it or not. God has a plan for each of us. He puts a call on our life. And sometimes we'll make excuses not to do it, or sometimes we will do it, but then we'll bargain with him that he'll give us help. He's going to help us do what he's called us to do anyway. And sometimes he might be calling us to do something we don't really want to do, so we'll find something else to do, and that's our bargain. Maybe he's calling us to go into a certain area of ministry, or to speak to a certain person, or to help with a certain thing, and we don't really feel like it. We feel that call in our heart of hearts. We know that's what God is wanting us to do, but we don't really feel like doing it. And so instead we say, Lord, I'll do this instead, and we'll find something else to do that we think is going to please God. That too is bargaining. That is stepping out of God's will and doing what we want and putting it in our own terms. And we can't do that. When God calls us to do something, He wants us to do it, and He will be with us for as long as we are doing it. Now, when we do what God asks, there will always be blessing. Throughout the scriptures, you can see where God promises to bless those who are obedient and faithful to him. And the Ten Commandments, we just wrapped up a study on the Ten Commandments on Wednesday night. And the fifth commandment is honor your father and mother, and your days will be long on earth. This is the commandment with a promise. In other words, God is saying, you do this, and I promise that I will extend your life. Your life will be long here on earth. A commandment with promise. Later in the Old Testament, God talks about tithing, giving to the Lord. And he says that this is the one area where we can test him. You give to me and I will bless you. Go ahead and test me on this. And then in the parable that Jesus told about the talents, the one who buried his talent lost it. The one who invested his talent was blessed with more. You see, when God calls us to do something, when he has a plan for us and we follow it, he wants to bless us. We are blessed when we carry out his will for our lives. But what happens when we start doing things that he's not asking? It backfires, just like it did here with Jephthah. And why does it backfire? Because it's not his plan. It's us. It's our selfishness. It's us doing what we would rather do rather than what God would have us do. Or it's us trying to take the glory away from God and saying that what he has accomplished is because we made some kind of bargain with him. And when we do that, we are taking the focus off of his grace and off of his power and his love and his mercy, and we are putting it on our works. And we are living out a works-based faith rather than a grace-filled faith. God is love. He wants us to see and acknowledge that and live that out in our lives so that other people can see that love in action. But when we are letting our own desires cloud our judgment and we are trying to fill in the blanks with our own things that we think are going to please and appease God, and if he accomplishes anything, it's because of what we've done, we have taken the focus off of God's love and grace and we have placed it on our own works instead. Now, back to Jephthah and this thing about the human sacrifice, sacrificing his daughter. I do not for a moment believe that God wanted Jephthah to do this. And I don't think that even though he made the vow, I don't think that God expected him to follow through with it necessarily. You see, human sacrifice was forbidden in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 12:31, God says, "You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things that the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire." And then again in Deuteronomy 18:9 through 12, God says, "When you enter the land of the Lord your God, do not learn to imitate those detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in fire. Anyone who does this is detestable to the Lord, because of these are detestable practices to the Lord." You see, God had no desire for anyone to sacrifice their child in his name. But what happened was Jephthah made this vow in the spur of the moment, without thinking it through, and his daughter walks out. And so he's put in a situation where he has to either be a liar and break his vow to God, or be what God would call someone detestable who sacrifices their child in his name. Now, he never would have been in that situation, first of all, if he had thought through his prayer and thought through his vow. But obviously he didn't. So he was in this situation and he chose to follow through on his vow rather than breaking the vow to God. Now, it could be said that this was a matter of pride. Maybe he didn't want it said that he broke his word to God, or that he lied to God, and that is why he followed through. Who knows? Scripture isn't very clear on exactly how this went down, what his thinking was, but he did follow through on it. At least that's the indication that is given. It's not always right for us to follow through on something evil just because we said we're going to do it. If we realize that it is something evil, it is our duty to not do it. Think about the parable that Jesus taught of the two sons. One said, I will work in the garden. And the other one said, no, I don't want to do that. The one who said, I will do it, wound up not doing it. And the one who said, no, I'm not going to do it, he did it anyway. And then Jesus said, who do you think the Father was more pleased with? It was the one who did it, even though he said he wasn't going to. You see, both of those sons broke their word. It was their action that pleased God. So here, Jephthah could have broken his word and not sacrificed his daughter, but he did it. He felt like his word to God was what he should go by, and so he did this detestable thing. But it's a situation he never would have been in if he had thought about the consequences beforehand. That is why Jesus told us, let your yes be yes. Be a person of integrity. Don't go shooting off at your mouth, promising something you're going to do if you don't plan to back it up. Know what you're getting yourself into. Now, another thing to consider about this is that Jephthah was obviously very careless about what he was promising. He was careless in what his sacrifice was. He was careless in the vow he was making to the Lord. And God does not want a careless, shooting from the hip whim of a promise. He does not want that kind of vow from us. In the book of Genesis, it says that he honored Abel's sacrifice and Cain's sacrifice did not honor him. It did not please him. Now, people have talked about the differences going back and forth. Abel sacrificed the lamb, Cain sacrificed the fruits and vegetables, but I don't think that's why God, one sacrifice pleased God and the other one didn't. I believe that when Abel offered his sacrifice, it truly was a sacrifice. It meant something. It was painful for him to give that, but he did it out of love for the Lord. Cain, on the other hand, may have just given some rotten fruits and vegetables that he was about to throw out anyway. Who knows? But regardless, that sacrifice meant nothing because it did not come from a heart of love and prayer and thanksgiving. And the sacrifice of Jephthah did not either. It was just a dice roll. It was playing the lottery. Give me this victory and whatever comes out is yours. I'll give it to you. I'll burn it up for you. That is not a heartfelt, sincere sacrifice, and God knew that. So I've said that all of these stories and judges somehow point us to Jesus. How does this point to Jesus? Well, where people erred in the Old Testament, where people struggled and failed and did these foolish things, Christ came along and fixed them. And so the actions of Jephthah here are contrasted with what Christ did when he came to earth. First of all, Jesus didn't haphazardly come down here and on a whim just do things. He was very focused, and most importantly, he was seeking out God's will rather than his own. He also didn't promise to sacrifice the life of someone else or something else. He sacrificed his own. He did not seek his own glory. He sought to give glory to God the Father through everything, to live out that will. And when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, yes, he did offer, or he did ask that God would save him from that hour. But then, towards the end of the prayer, he says, but not my will, your will. Let this cup pass from me only if that is your will. He did what God wanted him to do. He did not bargain. He did not try to get out of it. He knew that God had called him to do something, and he was going to see it through. Jephthah did not rely on God's grace. He tried to earn it through his work. We have to let this story serve as a reminder to us that the gifts of God's grace, they're free. They're not something that we bargain for or that we earn. So let us simply do what the Lord asks, and we will be rewarded. We will be blessed. And anything extra that we bite off, it will just simply be us trying to earn more of his grace and more of his favor. And when we do that, we are becoming arrogant and we are assuming that we can earn God's grace by our actions. And that always backfires. the results can be disastrous. Keep your heart open. Keep your eyes open. Whatever it is God is calling you to do, search that out. Find out what it is He is placing on your heart to do and follow that. And if you do, there is no reason to bargain or barter or beg or anything. If you are doing what God has called, what He has placed on your heart, He will bless you for it. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you make your call on our lives and on our hearts clear, that you give us wisdom and strength to follow you, even when you're asking us to do things that we don't necessarily want us to do. We ask that whatever we do will always be for your glory and not for our own, that it will be according to your plan and your will, not for us. Lord, we confess that we aren't always faithful in this regard, and we ask for your forgiveness, but we ask that you keep us humble. Keep us mindful of your calling, and let us know what it is you would have us do for the kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.